Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, we're back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Maybe later in the show we'll do our J&J year-end awards. I got to say, a challenging 2025.
Yeah.
In Memphis sports.
I don't know how attended that award ceremony would be.
Well, that will reflect the fan bases, won't it? It will be a lightly attended award ceremony. But what are we getting? We're getting the FUBU Awards, aren't we?
Well, I think those came and went, John.
Those came and went. Mm-hmm. Damn.
They happened.
Do we know how?
I don't know, man. I don't have the report on it. I promise you I don't. But I do think that event happened, and hopefully it'll be back for a second year.
Let's hope so. Yeah. It was August 14th through the 17th of this year. We will give away or give out some awards. And again, a challenging year. Let's hope that 2026 is better than 2025 treated us. Because there were moments that we thought 2025 was going to be good to us with at least the Tigers. And I guess even at the beginning of 2025 when the Grizzlies were second in the West. It was a nasty, nasty, nasty 2025. Let's call it what it is.
Well, there were blessings. Ryan Silverfield moving on to Arkansas and a chance for sort of a new ceiling for Memphis football. Not that Ryan saying was never going to get there. Sure seemed like he was going to get forever to get there. But that was an absolute blessing. I would put that high on the list of things that were good in 2025. Penny getting that 5 seed was good.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't build the equity that you hoped it would in terms of him as a coach going into his 8th season. And part of that obviously was the way it ended, you know, as a 5 seed losing to a 12. Obviously the Tyrese Hunter injury factors in, no excuses. You didn't get it, but that was certainly among the high moments. It was Penny's best year and getting that 5 represented that. Keep in mind, he'd finished runner up in the Maui. You know, there'd been a pretty good year all around.
Yeah.
No question. But in 25, that was the high point for Tiger basketball.
In fact, if you think about every program in the city, we got Charlie Brown on every single one of them, or Lucied, because every single one of those seasons started with such great promise. Tigers go 10-3 in the non-conference. They do what they're supposed to do in the American. They get a 5 seed, best seed since Cal, lose in the first round. Grizzlies, you know, start the season 36 and whatever it was. They're second in the West. End up having to play in the play-in and lose in the first round in a sweep to the Thunder. Tiger football starts 6-0, looks great, ends up 8-4, and does not even finish in the top 5 of the American. Now, at least at the end of that, there's a carrot because Silverfield got hired away somehow. But it all looked promising at the beginning of each season. And unfortunately, we just could not maximize those years. But, you know, that's why they play the games. A new day will arise, and we will give it another try in 2026. Let's do the rundown.
Yeah, I think we can just reset that Thursday night football game to start, just to kind of give you the NFC playoff picture. So with the dramatic come-from-behind victory, it was a battle of two 11-3 football teams, first place in the NFC West on the line. Seahawks got behind by 16 points in the fourth quarter, Jason, after two Sam Darnold interceptions. I mean, it just really felt like the Rams run away with that thing. You know, you're sitting there wondering, like, how the hell were the Seahawks favored in this game? They look like the significantly worse team. Sam Darnold has not fixed his propensity for turnovers. And then, you know, they get one stop defensively. They get a short field. Rasheed Shaheed takes it back on a punt return, and they get the two-point conversion. And, all right, now we got life. The defense turns up, gets another stop. They go down the field. They score. They tie it up on a controversial two-point conversion, craziest two-point conversion you will ever see. And then they go to overtime thanks to a missed field goal from the Rams. They still give up a touchdown in the overtime period, which, by the way, I mean, it's, you know, all of that was due to it winning the coin toss. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it, is that because if it goes the other way, you know, and you score first, you're not going for two. You know, you're going to kick the extra point,
yeah,
and you're going to give the ball back to the Rams, and you got to get the stop on them, which who knows if that would have happened at that point in the game. But that's just a new dynamic with the overtime rules. But the Seahawks now have a one-game lead in the NFC West with two games to go. They're in the driver's seat for the conference's number one seed, allowed 581 yards. Seven completions, a gain at least 25 yards, still find a way to win that game. Now, I think we both are in agreement that it doesn't really, even if the Seahawks managed to win that game yesterday, I don't think it changes would it change the power ratings of the Rams or the Seahawks? It would not. I don't think it would. I mean, you've got to remember that the Rams did not even have Devontae Adams in that game.
Right.
You know, they kept going to him on the side. I feel like I saw a shot of Devontae Adams 12 times. But he will be back, I presume, and so that only makes that offense more dangerous. I mean, Seahawks are a really good team. I think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender, though, and I'm not quite sure I'm there with the Seahawks, even in a win. Great win. Congratulations, and credit to the coaching staff and those players for staying in it. But, you know, if that game got played again, I think I would be on the Rams, to be honest.
Shout out to Kenneth Walker III, the Arlington product, Arlington High at one point, because – you know, had a couple of big plays in that game. Screenplay had a long touchdown run. Because the book on Seattle had been, and you heard this all night long in terms of Herb Street breaking it down, they love to run to set up the play action for Sam Darnold. That's when Sam Darnold is at his most comfortable. The issue is they don't typically run it very effectively. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, including myself, have held that against Seattle as a team in terms of true contender, because you don't have a run game that you can trust. Even though they've got two pretty good backs in Charbonnet and Walker.
Yeah.
That said, that ground game mattered yesterday.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Shout out to those guys, because they've kind of been written off as sort of an inconsistent ground game that they have to rely on to set up play action, but that hadn't been very good. It showed that in a big game, it could be a factor, and a big factor in terms of getting the win.
Yep.
That's a local product. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
I would just double down on it. I still trust the Rams more in terms of everything. Defense, offense, all of it. That Seattle defense got carved up. You gave up 580-something yards, I think it was. That scares me, particularly after a performance where you couldn't get Phillip Rivers down the week before. Now you're all banged up coming out of this one.
Yep.
And so Seattle, while they're in a good position for the one right now, that was in many ways still a, possibly a costly win in the sense of how many bodies went down.
Yeah.
And your defense hasn't looked great the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Now, that said, it's Matthew Stafford. He's on an absolute roll. He's the MVP of the league.
Yep.
But come on. It was just Puka and Stafford.
Yeah, it was.
And a bunch of tight ends.
That you've never heard of.
Like, he couldn't even get the man Atwell. He couldn't get Atwell involved.
Yep.
And this dude's hitting Puka for everything that he wants. And so you just wondered, Seattle, just with the inability to stop it, was that because so many bodies were dropping? That defense may be hurting going forward and into the playoffs because of what they seem to be losing last night in terms of bodies. So that win, huge for Seattle, could have major implications, though, in terms of their chances going forward. I do think that run game, though, you know, made a statement.
Yeah, Stafford out to minus 225 in the MVP markets. You know, I mean, I don't know how
you know, Drake May would pass him. I mean, maybe if he wins the one seed in the AFC or something like that, perhaps division, but I doubt it. The way that Matt Stafford is playing, dude is playing lights out. So yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said about the run game there for Seattle. If that can be a, you know, a thing that carries on, that because they obviously need it.
Darnold needs it.
Yes,
you cannot put it all on him. That's what we've seen. And whether he needs a special teams play really set it up for him, run game helped him.
Yep.
He doesn't need to be a guy that you're asking go throw for 350 and
won't
win
work.
It all for us.
It won't work.
They will not
because
go that's
deep that that's way. The that's when the Seahawks were having their struggles at the end of these at the game because they knew that the Seahawks were not going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. So they were just able to, you know, hey, go ahead, Sam. If you're going to beat us, you can beat us. It was when they got that ball back in the overtime period where all options are open. He could pass. He could run the ball. But really, that last drive was all in Njigba. I mean, that big catch there on the sideline that got him into territory. You know, and then obviously that touchdown catch. I mean, they have a ton of talent offensively. You know, especially with Shaheed there on the special teams piece of it. You know, we were texting about this last night. I just don't know if in the playoffs, you know, I'm going to be able to get behind them. I think that's my hesitation. The Rams, I have absolutely no problem with, especially when they get back Devontae. I mean, and I think that kind of hurt him a little bit. There were a couple of drives there in that first half where Devontae Adams got 14 touchdowns this year. You know, he's their red zone guy, and they end up having to settle for a field goal, right? I think that, you know, in a game that you lose by one, every little play – like that makes a difference every time you get stopped. So, and again, at the beginning of the game, right, then they get stopped on, you know, fourth and short. So I just think if that game got played again, you know, the Rams probably win it. But that's the beauty of it. You only play it one time, and they overcame a 16-point deficit in the fourth quarter, and they are now in the driver's seat for the one seed in the NFC. So we'll see, you know, how it all plays out. But fantastic game last night on Thursday Night Football.
Great story about University of Memphis basketball as it relates to Aaron Bradshaw and these NIL fans, these NIL fines, excuse me, that we first heard about on the ESPN broadcast from Tom Hart and Dane Bradshaw. And shout out to Sam Shoemaker again, Daily Helmsman, of course, independent voice of the University of Memphis since 1931. John and I, former writers for that publication over at the University of Memphis. And listen, for as shocked as we were to hear about it in the first place from Tom Hart and Dame Bradshaw, right, that Penny's fining guys fining Bradshaw $3,000 here, $3,000 there, I'm paraphrasing, but for dress code, things like that. And then to get the follow-up from Sam, who's over at the University of Memphis, I just thought fantastic job by him, first of all. He's got some good stuff in here. Went and got a number. What we heard from the ESPN crew was that it was $3,000 here, $3,000 there. What we didn't get was a total. And Sam Shoemaker said that Aaron Bradshaw is reported that Aaron Bradshaw has had more than 20,000 withheld from his NIL compensation due to multiple violations. And the wording of that is important because we talked about it. Fined? What, is he dropping it in a curse word jar? Is Penny getting 3,000 back? No, that money is being withheld from his pay, according to Sam Shoemaker. According to one source, Shoemaker writes, Bradshaw is the second highest earner on the Tigers behind only Doug McDaniel. We figured they were 1-2, but you get a confirmation here from at least one source Shoemaker's got. And then he talks about, you know, where this came up at on ESPN that during that game, during that loss to Vanderbilt. A source, reading down toward the end of a source, that Bradshaw was not charged anything, but that money had been retained from his monthly pay, Bradshaw, a former five-star McDonald's All-American, talks about spending his freshman season at Kentucky. Second year was Ohio State, averaged 5.7 points, 3 rebounds. We were talking about the comments from the ESPN crew yesterday, and we talked about how we liked it. We liked that Penny Hardaway seemed like a way of holding players accountable. You know, you just wonder if it's already at 20,000 in terms of what's been withheld from Aaron Bradshaw. And we've seen since that Baylor game, you not get much in terms of production for him. You know, is this what you have to do now? Is this the only way you can motivate guys who, especially the, you know, guys who are just now coming into your program? Penny's talked about wanting to run a professional program in the sense of sort of like an NBA team. And, you know, this is as close as it gets. It does bring up the question, can Bradshaw appeal these things, those kinds of things? But I just go back to, if Penny is going to, this is the point I'd make on this, and again, fantastic job by Shoemaker on this. If Penny's going to be the guy solely, it feels like, or without much help putting this roster together, he's got to go a little bit deeper in terms of backgrounds, in terms of want to, and maybe he'd tell us that he goes all the way deep. I'd tell you that he didn't go deep enough on Aaron Bradshaw. Right, you have to know in this world, especially if you're going to pay Aaron Bradshaw and need him as much as you do, and he's going to be such an important piece.
Yep.
What makes him tick? It can't just be a deal where you've looked at the five-star, you've looked at, okay, well, you know, Ohio State, Kentucky didn't work out, I just had Dane. It can be the same thing. No, you got to dig in a little deeper, clearly. And I'm just going to say this because I said it then. You know, I paid full price. Well, you know, not this is not me with my chest out, but for a reason, for Chris to go to Penny's camp this summer. When you get in, you find out this year that Penny's have, as I told you, his players are the counselors. Really cool. I was applauding that, right? We didn't get that at Larry Finch's camp. Absolutely loved it. I came out of there, I think, the day of.
Yeah.
And I told you after I saw, because they let the parents hang around, right? There's a reason they don't have Jason Smith around there, the media dude, around some of these players regularly, right? Don't get the invite. Being around those players was cool. Got to meet Sincere, all of them. Go down the list, shake hand. I told y'all that day, something off about Aaron Bradshaw. I told it to you then, and I said something along the lines of, man, he's kind of like these kids that are out here, you know, and I'm not trying to crush this man,
right?
But my point is I got a sense of it kind of immediately, and I used the word, and I'm not trying to be harsh here, but I used the word goofy. There was just something that wasn't D1 level hooper.
Yep.
And especially somebody who had been at two major programs.
Yep.
He was more like the kids that were in the drills.
Right.
And I'm just saying, I didn't know whether that, hey, man, he's having some fun just like these kids are. But there was something off.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying. If we're going to do this, you got to dig in deeper, especially when you've got $4 to $5 million, right, that you got to stretch and make it work. We know that $4 to $5 million last year got you more.
Yep.
Doesn't get you as much now. So you got to be careful. I'm talking about background checks at all, because that's it. Here's my point. That's what the NBA does, right?
Yep.
They dig in.
Yep.
Them folks, if they're going to invest the millions in you, and Penny Hardaway wants to run an NBA type program, bro, it's not just one person digging in. They got a crew of folks.
Yep.
So I need more on it in terms of what you're trying to find out about these guys, because it can't just be, oh, he's coming down a level. We did it with Dane, right? It's going to work with this one.
Yep.
You have to go case by case.
Yep.
Right now, and particularly for this time that you've only got the $4 to $5 million. If Bill Laurie or somebody ain't coming with another $5 to $10 million to come save you, and this is the way you got to go for the next 2, 3, 4 years or whatever till hopefully you get into a big conference, then whether it's Penny Hardaway or the next coach, you better be careful and spend this money wisely, and certainly don't spend it on folks who don't love basketball or that you've got to find $20,000.
No doubt.
Like, it's common sense. And I'm frustrated because I got the sense that Penny, coming off a great year, his best year, said, you know what, I got this. I've got it figured out now. And I don't need a Stansberry. Nolan's gone. He's getting a head job. That's great. I can do this on my own. Brother, you need help. That's the point. That's why you hire staff. That's why you get a GM.
Yep.
And so maybe we want to put this on somebody else. It'd be convenient if there was a Stansberry around. You could say, well, boy, he went and got Aaron Bradshaw. That's just a bad deal. And could put it on him. I haven't heard anybody say Aaron Bradshaw's theirs from that staff.
Mm.
It's Penny's. And it feels like he put this team together this year. And God bless him, because that's how hard he wants this. He wants this for Memphis basketball. But if you're going to do it, you got to dig in deeper. You got to dig in deeper on these guys' backgrounds.
Yep.
Again, I'm not the guy that comes on here all the time. Y'all know that, those that listen to us regularly on the show. I don't think John is either. They come on here and start it with all, I told you so, I told you so. I don't typically do that. My point of saying this about Aaron Bradshaw from summer camp was, man, you could sense it from the get-go.
Yeah.
So you can't just do this stuff in a Zoom. You can't just do this stuff in a visit to school without digging in into their background. Asking Ohio State and Kentucky, what was the issue? Because my guess is if you dug deep enough, they're going to tell you the kid don't love ball.
Mm.
So, something's off. I'm probably being unfair in saying the kid doesn't love ball as if it's a fact. I don't know what it is, but clearly y'all see it.
Yeah.
Like it's uncoachable or tough to coach. I don't know, whatever it is. the fact that you're having to fine him $20,000, he's your guy, means that you got to do a better job of identifying your guys. I'm frustrated. My pressure goes up. It feels like talking about Tigers right now because they should be in a better position than they are. Frankly, there's enough there, John, with your $4 to $5 million to have won, like we said, two more games. So certainly to be sitting here,
yep,
you know, with six wins, and yep, frankly, you probably should have seven wins right now. But if this is what it's going to be, then you've got to identify better and dig in deeper. This is a weight,
yeah,
pulling you down right now. What you've invested in Aaron Bradshaw.
Look, I think everything you said is spot on, and I would say that that's why who you hire on your staff is absolutely pivotal, because it shouldn't just all be on Penny, right? It shouldn't just. I know that Penny does like have a.
I think he wanted it.
He does. He does. But the reality is that in this day and age, you need more than just yourself.
You have to.
You know, you need
it's
people
who
can scout and who can do all these things for you. And look, I also think Penny, and it's a good thing about Penny, but I think it's a shortcoming about Penny. Penny just always assumes the absolute best. Like, he really has an optimist's, he sees things through an optimist lens, which is, oh man, yeah, it didn't work out at Kentucky. It didn't work out at Ohio State, but I can bring him here. He can work under me. I have NBA tutelage. I'll fix him. But like, he's just not. He's incorrigible, and I don't mean that like we're piling on this kid, you know. And he's certainly had a lot of that over the last 3 years. But this is a big boy job with big boy money, and that's just the way it goes. And so yeah, I think there's just look. You can go down the list. The mistakes aren't going to be as costly, you know, as Aaron Bradshaw on this roster. You know, I mean, Zach Davis had one good game against Baylor, and the rest of it's been, I mean, just like just dumbfounding mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like this guy has been in college for a long time.
Well, and you also, at least with Aaron, you had the Jordan Brown example.
Right, right. And you should have, like, yes. But I'm starting to worry, like, when these Power 5 guys become available and they're, you know, they're not going to another Power 5, like, why is that happening?
Some of them.
You know,
now you might catch a dang.
You might. You're right. And that
but
was.
But you
got
to vet these ones
exactly.
Coming down. There's a reason for some.
If there's
of them.
A power starter,
well, we've seen it.
Why
down.
Is he available? And why is he coming to Memphis? I mean, that's you know, with Dane, it was like he didn't start at Illinois, and of course you could ask why didn't you start at Illinois? You know, but he obviously maximized that opportunity. I mean, look,
to your point about Zach Davis, his mental mistakes are. I mean, he has a propensity for them.
Yes.
And maybe that's one of the things about
yes.
him.
Yes.
Now, there was, you know, some production in South Carolina. He's versatile and everything else. But,
yes.
My gosh, they've continued this season and
yes.
cost you.
I mean, two games.
Cost you Wake Forest, cost you in this past game.
Yeah.
And it's continuing. But
and if those flip, maybe you're on the at-large side right now.
But it's another thing about, you know, you mentioned the word flip. 15 new ones each year. You don't, you know. You're going out and learning them on Zoom. You're looking at the background stuff. You're bringing them in maybe before a visit, and you think you've got them fully vetted. It's not enough.
Right.
You haven't seen them through adversity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's the point why you want to get away from this replacing 15 and knowing a core, right? And taking less of a chance when you're, you know, four or five guys that you're bringing in out of the transfer portal. Hopefully, it's less than that. But that's where you have to get it to. It's just going to take quite a bit to get it there. And frankly, this year you need, you know. You need to pull the best you can out of this, which
yeah.
is a tournament appearance.
Yeah.
Identify those guys that are with you.
Yep.
That are motivated for the things other than just NIL and go from there.
Yeah.
I was telling Jeff this morning, I still think there's a good possibility we get to that because there's talent on this roster and should be
right.
enough to do what it's supposed to do in the American. But, yeah, getting people excited about that, but you got to have something to build with
yes.
again.
Yes.
And you have to avoid the fate of the team 2 years ago.
And what I will say, too, and this is actually good news for Memphis. The COVID years are gone, right? So we're getting into I think this might be the last year of anybody that played in COVID getting an extra year and still being eligible because, you know, you got that extra year. And I'm saying that because lots of teams would have like 24-year-old players, right? And the sport just got older and older and older. Well, now, I mean, do me a favor. Look around the country. There's a lot of freshmen. There's a lot of freshmen playing big roles. Now, we're talking elite, you know, big. But how about this? I mean, had you ever heard the name Keaton Wagler at Illinois?
Mm.
You know, he wasn't an A.J. Dibanza type. He wasn't a Darren Peterson type. But he's come into Illinois, and he's been awesome. So what I'm saying is that you can, Cello Jackson, Fred Smith, there is an opportunity today and moving forward to grab some freshmen out of high school, some seniors, and if they're good enough, they could play. It doesn't have to just be, and then you develop them, and ideally you keep them. We'll worry about tomorrow. But I'm just saying there's more of an opportunity to do that in 2026, next season, than have to reach into the portal. And ultimately, anybody that you're getting is going to have warts for the most part. He's either going to have a reason why he fell out of the Power Five, or it's going to be a guy that you're kind of taking a chance on, like a lower level kid that you're calling up, and you don't necessarily know how he's going to adjust. You don't know how that's going to go. I do think there's more of a leeway, and an opportunity to go freshman. I'm not saying you want to bring in eight, but I'm saying you could have two in the rotation next year, and that's actually, is Majak a freshman? I guess that's technically, he's technically a freshman. So, mm-hmm. You have done a little bit of that this year, and I think you can do it more moving forward. But you got to have staff. You got to have staff that can help you find those guys. And do I think that's the case right now? Roy Rogers just showed up like 2 weeks before the season started. I don't even know where he was. He was an NBA guy, right? Mm-hmm. He can't really help you there. Mike Davis? I don't know, bro. And that is one area where Nolan was really good. He's at Tennessee State. He won last night over UT Martin. It was a big game for him at home after beating UNLV. He's doing a good job at Tennessee State. Now, that's a head coaching job. It's not like he left for an assistant job. He left to be a head coach.
Right.
And that's, anybody's going to do that, right? But I think losing that, I think he did have some relationships around the country. He's a younger guy, dynamic, obviously, name recognition. You got to replace that, with mm-hmm. with somebody. So it's all part of the discussion, the vetting and the scouting and the, what am I getting? What am I getting in Aaron Bradshaw?
Well, things you want to run as close to an NBA program as you got, and find guys and pay guys. You got to, if you're investing in them, you got to do a good job vetting them.
That's right.
And that's where Memphis is right now.
Yep.
Again, I think you've vetted enough of these guys. You've got enough talent to go on and do what you're supposed to do. But win this conference tournament, go to the tournament as a 12. Even if that's what it is.
Right.
But no, it's not fun right now.
Hey, shout out to the helmsman. Shout out to Sammy Shoemaker.
Great job by him.
The helmsman is entering a new era, because Candy Justice obviously hung it up a few months ago. And, I don't know who is in charge of the helmsman. I know Sam is they're calling it the executive editor. I think back when we were doing it, it was the managing editor. But they've now changed that title to executive editor, and I've peeped the website, and I've always maintained that like the most fun I've ever had doing any journalism at all was when I was working at the Helmsman. It was a brief time for me, but it was a really formative time for me. I learned a lot about the business. I learned a lot about working with people, and being in that office all day, basically. You'd get there at 10, you'd stay till 9 until the thing went to print. And it was a real news operation, man. We were printing 5 days a week. I know they were there. It was 5 days a week when you were there, too. I don't think it is now, just because of costs and everything. But, man, to see it back and to have some juice again is cool to see. So, nice job by Sam Shoemaker on that story on Aaron Bradshaw. All right, are you up on this Netflix fight tonight? Jake Paul, Anthony Joshua?
No.
We can't get you?
No.
We can't get Jake's move on the next Jake Paul fight. It's interesting because
he's gotten me enough.
He is. I don't know if this is. I think this is just with your Netflix subscription. But Anthony Joshua, who is 6'6", 243, and a 2-time heavyweight champion and Olympic gold medalist, is fighting Jake Paul, who is 6'1", 216. Obviously a massive gap in size, and Anthony Joshua is minus 1,100 in this fight. Jake Paul is like 7-1, and everybody's betting Jake Paul. Everybody is betting on the underdog in this fight. I don't know why. I guess because they think, because it involves Jake Paul, it's rigged or some. But I just I don't believe that Anthony Joshua is going to be taking this fight to take a fall. It's not Mike Tyson at 58 now. You know, that was like, I'm getting a bag here. And I think even Mike Tyson, remember he was biting his gloves in that fight? Like that, people get, and I think that was because he was pulling his punches. Like he was like, I want to, you know, beat this guy's ass, but I'm gonna hold back because that's just kind of part of the show here. I don't think Anthony Joshua would agree to such things. But every single person is betting on Jake Paul in this fight. And part of it's because who wants to bet a -1100 favorite in a boxing match? I certainly understand. But people are calling this a generational wealth opportunity on Joshua. They are saying that there's absolutely no way that a 6'6", 243-pounder Olympic gold medalist is going to lose to Jake Paul. And I agree. I mean, how would it happen? It's like this is – Jake Paul can't knock him out. Jake Paul can't outlast him over an 8-round fight.
Well, just you asking the question. They've clearly got you right where they want you. How is it going to happen? Tune in. I mean, in all seriousness, like how long are we going to go on for the charade that is this Paul boxing deal? All we do afterwards is come on and talk about how, oh boy, it looks set up. Tyson clearly wasn't going on. I mean, Alabama, Oklahoma's tonight. That's you know, that's what will dominate in terms of sports over this fight. I just think the cat's out of the bag on the Paul deal. He's continuing to make millions of dollars, but I'm not interested whatsoever.
Wow.
In that fight, that's how he's gotten us.
Right.
Tyson's out there. Oh, surely he'll be serious. He ain't just going to take a beating. And you're doing it again with this. That's fantasy right there. That's fantasy sports. What he's doing.
Wow. You've ruined.
But he is unbelievable in terms of his ability to generate interest and create money opportunities for people. Which, you know, I think those folks that he's gotten paid, I think I appreciate that part of the whatever this production.
Right.
That continues to go on. I wonder how long he's going to be able to keep this up. Another 5-10 years.
Well, I mean, the boxers
Netflix
love him, you know, because he gets them paydays.
Yes.
He gets, you know, Tyson paydays. He gets Joshua paydays.
That's the part I appreciate about this.
You know,
I won't be involved anymore in terms of any level of it, not a percentage of interest, because we've seen it and we do the same thing each time. He's got a nice setup here. Looks like this one could be interesting, and then he gets you. Yeah, every day. Netflix, he's won. He's like Silverfield. He got the deal with Netflix. He's good to go.
Right.
But he's literally vulturing.
Right.
You know, our stupidity.
Well, what it has done, and this is
not real.
I think the boxers would take the trade, but it has happened. He has bastardized the sport of boxing. I mean, because it doesn't ever feel like a legitimate bout. It feels like this is a complete money grab for somebody. Mm-hmm. And I know that on some level, yes, there's a purse involved in every boxing fight, but, you know, once upon a time in boxing's heyday, you know, it was about the fight. It was about the, you know, the Sugar Ray Leonards of the world and the Muhammad Ali's of the world and the Mike Tyson's of the world. And now it's just like, oh, this is Jake Paul. He's put on a sideshow. Everybody's going to watch for the, like a voyeurism of it, you know, to see can this 6'1", 216-pound guy do the unthinkable, but it's not like real. It's not a real fight. Right. You know, we're talking about a -1100 favorite, which, look, Buster Douglas, when he beat Mike Tyson, he was a massive dog. I mean, again, that was a real fight. So, you know, that should be said. But anyway, it is happening tonight. I just wanted to get you on the record for if we would have you. We've now got you on the record for this. But yeah, people are betting Jake Paul just nonstop as the dog in this fight, thinking that he's really going to do it, despite being basically 30 pounds lighter. That seems dangerous to me. If Anthony Joshua wanted to knock this dude out, he could probably do it in 10 seconds. Either way, I'll have it on. I'll have a lot going on tonight. I'll have the game on. I'll have this fight on just peripherally. It won't be the main event, but, you know, I'll definitely be tuning in and seeing, you know, what the spectacle looks like. But Jake Paul is fighting again tonight.
I got this one more. I mean, the game tonight is obviously what a lot of America will be watching. I'm watching it for the reason of if Alabama loses, what's Kalen DeBoer going to do? I know that publicly he has addressed the coaching situation at Michigan, or at least questions about whether or not he's happy and going to stay at Alabama. He's done that, I think, in written form and verbally at a press conference. But how good's he going to be feeling if Alabama, and it's certainly within the realm of possibility, they are an underdog, a 1.5-point underdog tonight at Oklahoma if they lose. This is an Alabama team that, yes, with three wins, made the playoff. And you'd say, well, that, and I want to say, too, he's 10-2, something like that, against top 10, top 15 opponents. But you get the sense, and we talked about it with Drew Hill yesterday, an Alabama fan that knows the tone down there, the fan base, that they're unhappy. And why wouldn't they be? I mean, if you're not winning national championships, if you're anything less, if you've got four losses, which would be this year if they lose to Oklahoma, then you're not getting the job done. That's the Nick Saban standard. It's what it's been in Alabama. You telling me that it wouldn't be a smoother, you know, sort of they'd appreciate you more in Ann Arbor? That's the thing about it. I think Ann Arbor looks at Kalen DeBoer and says, wow, with him, we'd be happy. You put us in the college football playoff every year. Bro, you're good as gold. Well, you can have the job as long as you want it. Whereas with Alabama, well, a first-round exit here, they're going to be clamoring for you. They're going to want your head. So I'm really interested to see, again, if Oklahoma pulls this off, if DeBoer is doubling down on I'm good to go. It was uncomfortable after the written statement. Paul Feinbaum pointed to it, and boy, feels like he's turned on us with the G5 stuff.
He really has.
Right? About whether Memphis and teams like Memphis. My intrusive thoughts about Feinbaum,
I will keep inside, but so, I've been very disappointed.
So he did the statement, but then when asked about it in the press conference, it got really, really weird. And we've seen it. We've seen guys say they're staying and leaving, and I just wonder, again, that opening at Michigan looks super attractive to me. If I'm Kalen DeBoer, I'm a Midwest guy, and I'm going to be beloved the moment I step into the presser room.
Right.
I'm talking about appreciated in a way that I may never get at Alabama. And so, and you tell me this, John. They beat Oklahoma. Well, everybody's behind them. Alabama feels real good.
Yep.
What happens when they lose the next game? It's going to be more of the same in terms of you will not get the same level of appreciation just because of who you're following, if nothing else.
Yeah.
At Alabama that you would at
Michigan. No, I mean, that's never going to change.
And we've already said it doesn't feel like a fit. I'm going back to Drew Hill here.
Right.
He's the guy that's followed Alabama. He's the fan.
And don't forget he's coached the Big Ten.
He's not that guy. He's not an SEC. Doesn't come off as an SEC coach.
Agreed.
So that's what I'm curious about. Obviously, the football is what's going to matter. Alabama can't run the ball.
Yeah, and they're playing a stout defense.
Exactly.
As good a defense as there is.
And you're on the road. That's the thing about these home sites. I mean, it's going to be crazy. Tonight. So you figure, they'll have the advantage, Oklahoma, in terms of crowd, everything else, if they throw the first punch.
Yep.
And Alabama can't run the ball. You put it on Simpson, who has not been good here down the stretch.
Yep.
The last few weeks, he has thrown, in terms of interceptions, everything else, he's made more bad decisions. So I don't know. Feels like they're in a tough spot. And if they lose, I think DeBoer would be in a tough spot if he stays.
Yes, agreed. Now, the only thing I would say about Michigan is that it is a little similar to Alabama in that you have to beat Ohio State. Just like at Alabama, you got to beat Auburn. Now, a little easier to beat Auburn than it is to beat Ohio State.
They were doing that pretty regularly
but
before this year.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like, you've probably got enough there in NIL to at least go tip for tat with them.
And that's the thing. Ryan's won one, but Ryan Day, we don't look at him as some great coach.
No, we definitely don't.
He won it last year because his roster is $20 million.
Roster was unbelievable. Travion Henderson,
Will
Howard.
He broke through, and that sort of was the knock on him.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that's going to give you over the top.
They had the most expensive roster in college football, and he won with it.
We look silly because he went on and won a national championship, but we said, I said they should move on from him because he can't beat Michigan.
Right.
This was before he got the national title. It was year after year after year. How long are y'all going to pay him to do this?
That's what you have to do at either one of those schools. So if, you're not totally getting out of that fishbowl. However,
don't you think he's a better coach than Ryan Day though?
I wouldn't say he's worse, certainly, right? And the NIL is similar. And I do think, again, that the value of getting out of the shadow of the guy after the guy. I mean, that's what's never going to change for like, Kalen DeBoer is never going to be liked at Alabama.
No, that's Josh.
No matter what he does. No matter what. Right. It doesn't, unless he wins it. And even if he does win a national championship at Alabama, people will hold it next to other championships, and it will just.
And DeBoer did a lot more than Pastner.
Right.
It's just. They already don't like you.
It's unfortunate, that's the way it is. But Nick Saban is literally the greatest to ever do it. And, it ain't like he's getting nothing to do it. He's being paid handsomely. But, yeah, I would absolutely take the Michigan job if I was Kalen DeBoer, because I know that conference. I've been to the championship from that conference. you know, I just feel like it's a more natural fit for him, personality wise. And it's like, you know, people are ready to rally around the next coach at Michigan. They were not ready to rally around you following Nick Saban. It's just the truth. They didn't want Nick Saban to retire. You know, that was a begrudging thing, and they didn't know who they were going to hire. And I don't think anybody expected it to be Kalen DeBoer when that all opened up. I think people thought it might be Lane, it might be Dabo, it might be somebody else. So I would take the job on the fact that I know this fan base is never going to truly accept or embrace me. That's my view from here. I mean, I'm not there in Tuscaloosa. I don't know. It could be, I could be completely off base, but I would take it because I think that Michigan fan base is saying, whew, all right, we're wiping the Harbaugh thing completely clean. Come in and we'll worship you like a god if you beat Ohio State. You know? I mean, as opposed to, it felt like Alabama was ready to fire Kalen DeBoer had he not held on versus Auburn this past, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. So I would do it, you know, and I would do it. If I'm Michigan, I would hire him regardless of what happens tonight. I would say that as well. My opinion of him is not going to be, you know, measured or weighed what happens. In
oh, no, it won't be. They're hoping he loses, so they feel like they have a chance then.
He's the second favorite on Cal Sheet. Kyle Whittingham is getting some bets, the Utah coach. That one feels very random to me, but he's a good coach. I will say that for Whittingham. It would not be a bad hire. If he's got fire, and he might, you know, I don't know what the circumstances were about his Utah exit, but if he's got some fire in his belly, I think that'd be good. Kenny Dillingham is still the favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say Dillingham. If you can't get DeBoer, I like Dillingham better than I do, was it Fish?
Yeah.
Jed Fish, who was on some lists.
Yeah, Jed Fish has been on basically every list. He was on Florida's list. He was on this list. He was on some other list. And I'm just like, he just hasn't done enough. Like, he's got to do more for me to get a job like these, to get Florida, to get Michigan, you know. He's got to prove some more things at Washington before I'm ready to, you know, hand him the keys to a big job like these. But, yes, Kalen DeBoer is getting some, you know, he's getting some action. And I think if he, you know, I mean, I feel like especially if he wins tonight, that will only go up. It may go up regardless. But if he wins tonight and he advances, it just makes that case all the more strong, you know, for the next hire. So, anyway, yeah, that's going to be a fun one tonight. I'm going to take Oklahoma at home at a pick. I mean, I don't feel great about it, but I don't think that Alabama team is very good.
How about Miami, Texas A&M tomorrow? You got triple header, 11 a.m., 2:30 is Tulane, Ole Miss, then 6:30 is James Madison, Oregon. We know what's going to happen in the latter two. How about Miami, Texas A&M? Texas A&M, three-point favorite.
I guess I would take A&M because I don't really believe Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I haven't really watched a ton of A&M, so I don't have a super strong feeling about it. But I just don't
see this Bane dude be a game wrecker in that one.
Yeah. They have a you know, great offensive and defensive line. I mean, that's what they do have.
Reuben Bane.
Yeah. And their offensive linemen are like 6'7", 350 pounds. But, you know, I'm sure Texas A&M's are too.
A lot of folks don't think Miami should be here.
Yeah.
Should be playing with a little bit of a chip on its shoulder.
Should. Yeah. I mean, I'll take A&M because SEC, but I don't feel, you know, super strong about it. What about you?
Yeah. If there's going to be an upset in these, it won't be Alabama in my eyes. It'll be Miami.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. But I wouldn't sit up here and just pick it with any sort of confidence.
Yeah.
I think that the home team here, it's a huge advantage.
Yep, it is.
With the what's at stake in these games, how jacked these crowds are going to be, and if you score early, whew.
Yeah, I think the group of five teams get waxed. That would be my sense.
Summerall's already got one foot in Florida.
That's a weird deal,
so,
man.
Of course. I just maybe it'll be a little bit better because of Retzloff. You've had him, but
yeah,
you've already been prepper. Been in prep in some way for Florida. How can you be totally committed to this?
That's exactly.
I appreciate what he did though, contributing to their NIL or whatever, giving him some money from the future money he's going to have.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, I think that story's out there. Heard somebody. I think somebody on our air talking about it. Like what a. That's the kind of gesture I would love to see from Ryan Silverfield, who cherished his time at Memphis so much.
It's his dream job.
Look at what you flip this into, what it's gotten you. How about a little bit of a contribution back to the collective or however you can do it?
If there you go.
If it's reported and it's out there, and I heard it talked about, I think, on our air, what Summerall did, why couldn't you? Didn't Josh like, didn't, don't, donate to the building or something of Lori Walton? Like, coaches can make these donations. And so why wouldn't, not that that was NIL time, but why would you not be able to, why would he not do something like that if he truly appreciated his time here?
I agree. I think
having flipped to the money that he'd made.
I mean, he talked so much about how this was the only job he ever wanted.
Well, and with the way that, you know, the questionable way it seems like with where you left, with maybe 1 foot out in a way that you were saying wasn't. Yeah, this would be a nice little way to put a bow on it.
Absolutely.
And truly show you cared.
I couldn't agree more.
And appreciated the platform that Memphis gave you.
Ryan just followed me back to let me know, stay tuned for that. Stay by your phone. He will have an update for you on the NIL contribution in the coming weeks. Don't go anywhere. So, but yeah, I don't think we're going to get that. I don't think we're going to get that from old Ryan. But that's a nice gesture. But yeah, I think that does create like some weird, complicated dynamics with Tulane. And then, you know, I do think with Ole Miss.
$100,000 he gave.
Hey, I mean, that's real money for them. That's real money for Tulane. That ain't nothing.
Yeah, it was reported 3 days ago. He gave $100,000 to Tulane.
And that's not, you can't write that off, I mean, on your taxes.
Well, that's a drop in the bucket for Ryan Silverfield now.
Yeah, he $35 million.
Won a conference title.
That's right. That's right. And I do think for Ole Miss, they're going to rally around the situation. I do believe that. I think they'll bring it, as opposed to the Tulane players who are like, what the hell is happening? He's coaching Florida. He's coaching Tulane. He's here. He's there. He's there. He's here. I think that's going to be a little weird. So I do think the Oregon and Ole Miss roll against the group of five, which will only add to the fire and stoke the flame of, we have too many group of five teams. We shouldn't have any group of five teams. It already seems like we'll never have two again. They've kind of made sure that would not happen with the new regulation moving forward. If Notre Dame's in the top 12, they're automatically in. But it will not quiet the whispers. And to your point about Paul Feinbaum, look, it's tough because I do really respect him. I respect him as a professional. He has made, you know, I mean, he's from Memphis. He went to White Station. He, you know, is one of the best at his job. But it definitely makes me feel some type of way when he is sort of becoming the face of, you know, dumping on the group of five, when, like, I feel like if we had him on the show, he would not say that. Like, we know that because we've had him on the show and he, like, talks Memphis up when he's on with us. And maybe that's just that what everybody does. And when you go on with a certain market, you know, you say nice things about that team and school. But I don't know. It's been hard to square that. Knowing that Paul's from Memphis and all those things and seeing up here is like, you know,
he's answering to his constituents, bro.
Right, right. And that's what he does when he comes on here.
I would say it looked like Nick Saban's become the face of it. Nick Saban is who I at one point thought would make for a good commissioner of college football. I don't think that anymore, because if Nick Saban truly thinks that, you know, there shouldn't be a JMU or a Tulane or a Memphis in it, how's that good for college football and not just good for the big boys? Nick Saban, what I thought would be a good candidate for commissioner, understand college football goes beyond the big boys. And the great thing about having the group of six spot is that you keep a whole nother world in terms of conferences, in terms of teams, interested in what you've got.
Absolutely.
It's great for all of college football. He should understand that. And he's just like, from what I've read, just like Feinbaum in that sense, that you play to your constituents. You play to the power people.
Yep.
You don't care about the little man.
Yep.
I thought, but remember, he called you Memphis State a couple of years ago in the bracket, man. Like, those guys, they say all those, you know, they don't give a damn about you when you're the little guy.
Right.
And look how quickly they turn on you. But how is not having the group of six spot good for college football in terms of all the fan bases you now include in the pot?
Right. Yes.
Just one spot. I get it. You don't want two in there. We understand it.
Right.
But there should always be that access. And yes, it's
going to blame James Madison. Blame the ACC for that.
But you might get a special team every once in a while that's got a chance.
Right.
Nobody's asking for that. We're asking because you're involving all of college football.
That's right.
Good for college football.
Yes.
So now that he's answering just to the powers,
yep.
Nick Saban is no longer a guy that I think should be a commissioner. At one point, I looked at him and said he's perfect for it.
Right.
Now, he loves college football. He's gone from Alabama. He's done coaching. This is perfect. But if you can't understand that, bro, you don't need to be.
He should be the commissioner of the SEC.
You're the commissioner of the big boys. You should take Sankey's job.
Yeah.
You know. But I've been disappointed by him, who's loves college football. That's right. For the better of the game. And right. then, of course, your man Feinbaum, who's from here and understands when you say that,
yep.
you're cutting off something that you know is special, but you're saying it's not special enough. You're doing just like Big 12 folks did.
That's right. That's exactly right. It hurts to hear. It hurts to hear from him, of all people. It really, truly does. But college football playoff kicks off tonight. Alabama, Oklahoma. Hopefully, it'll be a good one. Hopefully, we'll get it kicked off with a fun game. All right, we'll come back. Parthi Padgai is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball. Big game for them on the road at Mississippi State. I'm seeing Mississippi State at 3.5 early on. So, again, Tigers will be an underdog. We expected that. Can they pull it off? We'll talk to him about all that and more. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM. Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's been.
I'm sure you guys are the same as me that when it comes to your money, you don't mess around. You don't play, right? Money's serious. Your financial journey is serious. Making good financial decisions is important in life. You want to make the best ones. Don't get set back. How do you do that? Well, you get with someone that can counsel you through, shepherd you through. That'd be Leaders Credit Union. They want to be there for you every step of the way of your financial journey. Who's Leaders? Well, Leaders is a not-for-profit financial institution. It's fully owned by members, operates for your benefit. As a result, 70,000-plus members in West Tennessee and growing, got branches in Bartlett and Arlington. We're a member of the family, and you can be a member of the family. Compass Black Credit Card, tell you what, pays when you shop. You can enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase when you sign up for direct deposit and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No annual fees or limits with Leaders. To learn more, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Come be a part of the family. Check them out. See all that they can do for you. Leaders is your financial champion for life and federally insured by NCUA.
Part of the podcast is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, state of the union there, and see, you know, what the upshot is
for these Tigers. Big week 16 in the NFL. I mean, what a start last night in Thursday Night Football. But you have a few games that are absolutely massive, including on Saturday. This is a Saturday game at 7:20. The Pack at the Bears. What was the stat you had this morning, Jason, on those Bears? Or on the, I guess it's the Packers. If it's the teams that come off of a trip to Denver, are 1-5 straight up and 0-6 versus spread in the next game.
Yep, from Joe Fortenbaugh.
So
ESPN. You get beat up and you lose. And I suppose that whoever that one team was, that was, must have been a big number.
Yeah.
That they didn't cover.
Right.
But point being, those teams coming off of a loss to over a game against Denver.
Right.
Don't fare well next week. That would be Green Bay.
Yes.
That's why Fortenbaugh's on Bears.
And that may be another reason why, right? Like, I mean, there's just been pretty much one-way traffic on Bears, you know, from, you know, in the market. Caleb Williams only needs 689 yards to break the Bears' single-season record, which is amazing. I mean, it's pretty amazing the season he is having under Ben Johnson. Maybe not all that surprising. That's a big reason why he obviously took the job. But, man, they look great offensively. So, if...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.